Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. Apple, recommend Apple Podcasts. Android, recommend the Five Reasons YouTube channel or Spotify. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month to get away from Twitter. Lots of reasons to do that lately. And communicate with us and Heat fans all day long. We'll be doing Q&As leading up to the draft. Also, we will be doing those leading up to free agency. So check it out. All of the different channels that we offer there on Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description on the podcast feed and on the YouTube description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, includes over our friends over at Autograph. I've been telling you about this. This is an app where you can just get your Miami Heat content. If that's all you want, you can get it in one place. You can find Five on the Floor there as well. If you scroll through, Autograph can be downloaded using the code 5 for free. So that's the code 5. We tell you about that code all the time. F-I-V-E. Go to autograph.io or go to the app store of your choice. Download Autograph and start following the content. They also drop special exclusive offers in there. Recently, we gave away a Bam Adebayo signed jersey for just $13. And you get exclusive videos from me. So check it out. The Autograph app. Download it with the code 5, F-I-V-E. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Yikes.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckner said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. We got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We have concluded for now the Jimmy Butler series. We did the five best decisions of the Jimmy Butler build, the five worst decisions of the Jimmy Butler build, and then we built a team from the Jimmy Butler build. Now we're going to actually try to find a young player, but we're not going to get that specific on the draft yet because I will acknowledge I have done no study to this point. I will start to dive into prospects here over the next couple of weeks, but Brady's been doing more of this. Actually, check out his Twitter feed. He put up a thread on some guys and how they may fit with the Heat. Also, Greg Sylvander has you covered with the workouts. He tends to get those first, and he's been posting those on host updates on Off the Floor. But what we're going to do today, we're going to speak more in macro terms here. What type of player should the Heat be drafting? Should they be going for best player available or filling a positional need? Of course, this is not considered to be a great draft. It's supposed to have a lot of role players in it, not necessarily a lot of stars. The Heat picked 15th. They are right outside the lottery. They've done good work in this space before. They got Bam Adebayo at 14. They got Tyler Hero at 13. They got Jaime Jaquez last year at 18. They got Nikola Jovic at 27. Yes, the Precious Achiuwa didn't work out so well. But he was a functional player for 20. It's just the player that came after him that everybody talks about. But they've done good work in this area. Adam Simon's very good at his job, as is Chet Kammerer, still around the organization, as are other scouts that are out in the field. The Heat have tended to make the right decisions. They've actually overdrafted. In other words, well, I think overdraft is the wrong term. They have gotten more value out of their draft pick than they should have based on their draft slot since drafting Bam in 2017. Okay. With the exception again of the Precious pick, which was kind of a flat line in terms of that. So let's get into it. And I'll start here with my personal feelings on this. And then I'll let the two of you guys weigh in with how it fits with this roster. I say you almost always take best player available. That's how I feel about the NFL, and it's how I feel especially about the NBA. And I'll go back to 2003, and I will say I don't get a whole lot of things right, but I love the Dwayne Wade pick, even though they had a two-guard already. They had Eddie Jones. They were paying him $86 million over 7 years, And there were some, including a friend of mine who's a media titan in South Florida, who didn't love the pick at the time, because why would you take Dwayne Wade when you had Eddie Jones? Well, they moved Dwayne Wade to the point guard position, and they figured out how to move Eddie Jones to the three after his first season. And they figured out how to move off of Eddie Jones as Dwayne Wade became a superstar and ultimately a finals MVP and a Hall of Famer. I think you take the best player. I think when you draft for position, you get yourself into trouble. And the Precious pick is an example of that. They wanted somebody to pair with Bam, but it didn't seem like they'd really considered how he would fit with Bam. And I remember asking Riley at the press conference after the selection about them playing together, and it didn't seem like he had a great idea about it. And so to me, just drafting for a center, because say you need a center or a power forward, is not necessarily the way to go. I will say, in a draft like this, you can draft for position a little more, because it seems like, at least based on what I've read about this draft, there's not a ton of difference between a whole bunch of guys in terms of the way that they're evaluated. But I'll add this one part. The Heat have different things they look for than other teams do. And so what may make sense for another team may not make sense for them. And sometimes it depends on where they are in their build. And Brady, as I go to you on this, they have two different prototypes in terms of the types of players that they've drafted over the last two times they've had first-round picks. They took a total project with high upside in Nikola Jovic, very young, hadn't even graduated high school, and they took someone else who played 4 years at UCLA in Jaime Jaquez. They've both worked out to some degree, Jaquez in particular in his first season. With the team that they have now, what type of player, in terms of his timeline, should they draft?
So I agree with you. I think it has to be best player available. And I think that the best player available could be the high upside guy, or you could be the high floor guy. It could be the Jovic. It could be the Hawkins. So you could see both ways. But I will say the free agency situations that Miami has to deal with this offseason, I think leans in the direction of the high floor a little more than I think I would have said before, just because you may need to get an extra guy that could replace a Caleb Martin type. We think that they're going to bring back Haywood, but you know, a lot of these guys that we're often talking about, bigger wings, kind of high floor guys, could be on the way out. So you kind of do need to replace that in a way where you can't just say, okay, we're going to pump this pick into 2 years from now. But I do think that I don't want to say high upside, high floor. I want to just say they need to get the guy with the most talent. Like, and a lot of times that is the high upside guy is the guy with the most talent. Cause I'm looking around at some of these guys and it's like, when you say about this draft kind of being a level playing field, like they can get the high floor guy in the undrafted realm as they have in the past, but they also have the second round pick that they probably do more damage on, because that's kind of what they're best at, is kind of finding those hidden gems in a way. But I do think it's going to be about finding kind of those highly talented guys that are different. And I think that's the key. I don't think it was just like, okay, Jaime went to college 4 years. He was experienced. Jovic, on the other hand, he was kind of inexperienced and he was more high upside. I just think it was the fact that they fit what they needed to do. And they were the most, they had kind of what they needed. They were unique styles. Jovic with the kind of the bigger, not really many guys like him. There was more of the fact of running the floor, being able to be that bigger passer and all that stuff. Jaime, on the other hand, I think they saw the footwork. They saw the advanced game that was different. They look for things that are different. And I do think there are some guys in this draft that they're going to lean towards. So I agree. I'm going to get to the bigs actually coming this week. And I think there are some interesting bigs actually in their range that I think they should look into, because we all know that's what they should lean into if they were just going into position like that. That's what they'd go after. But I do think, like, look, there's some guards, wings, like there's some like tweener guys in this draft that like I didn't even know how to characterize them, like if I should put them in the wings one or the bigs one, because like that's what they should be leaning into, and they're a positionless team. So it's like, get the guy that you don't know if he's going to be playing the 3, 4, or 5, and with Miami he's probably going to be playing the 5.
And you look at Jovic, he's someone with point guard skills or something like that, who they were using as a backup 5 at times, or as a 5 down in Sioux Falls. Alex, with the construction of the current roster, if they are going in with Jimmy Butler, even if they don't extend him, but if they are keeping him this season, does that affect the experience level of player that they try to take?
I mean, it should, right? But you know, if it is a case like you have said that, you know, that you've heard, it's either, you know, they extend him, which they may not do this summer, or, you know, they just kind of go into the season and, you know, see what happens, which I've already expressed my feelings on that. But I think if that is the case, then that means Jimmy Butler is going to be on your team to start the season, whether you extend him or not. Right. So with that being said, you're still in the Jimmy window. And even if you were to, like, theoretically move on from Jimmy and go into the Bam window, I'm pretty sure if you ask Bam, he would say he wants to compete. He doesn't want to go into like a rebuild mode, right? If that were the case. So I think either way, you get the best player available. But if we're being honest here, and not to give too much of a cop-out answer, I feel like the Heat have done a pretty good job of like balancing both here, because I feel like they do get somebody that they feel is the best player available, like with Hakez and Jovic, but those two skill sets were skill sets that we have pointed out throughout the years of like things that they need. When it, I mean, not necessarily Hakez by position, but as far as like getting somebody who can attack the rim, who can create for themselves, and he, you know, maybe doing it a little bit differently than we would have expected of somebody with that, like, you know, description. It's a little, he has a little bit of a different game and came in as a senior, but he does those things. He scores, he gets to the rim, he playmakes, you know, is a decent defender. And then Jovic, like somebody who can play next to Bam, who is tall, who can like put the ball on the floor, who can shoot, who can, and honestly, like became, you know, last season as a rookie, had a inconsistent shooting season to having a great shooting season this past one. I think, you know, they've gone for best player available, but they've done it in ways where it's like, okay, these are two skill sets that we actually need. And so, like, I agree that, you know, if they were to go by position, it would probably be a front court position, whether you're talking about a four or a five, most likely. But I don't know, like, other things to consider, because 100% what Brady said is true as far as, like, you know, one of Caleb or Haywood is most likely going to walk. But then the other thing is, like, what other type of trade would they be actually be down to make this summer, right? Because if you're talking about moving on from a Tyler, moving on from a Duncan or a Terry, and you have a backcourt spot open up, maybe that becomes a possibility. I'm not, you know, saying that's going to happen or bet on that, but I think like those type of factors, you know, influence who you get. I do think, you know, they've done just in general a pretty good job at balancing the two, though, and not making it feel like, you know, you're either going for a project or somebody who can play right away.
The other thing to consider here, too, is they could be making the pick for someone else, and they can't trade the pick until after they draft the player. But that has been done before. They've done it before. They've drafted players for others. Sometimes it's just done during the draft. The silliness about how they could have had what Bol Bol or Marcus Thornton or whatever, when those players were never targeted for them. They were targeted for another team. Bogdanovich. I mean, we could see something like that again. I do think that if you see a player who is really raw, then you kind of get the feeling, okay, they may be moving that player to get someone else. Although if it's like, let's say a two-team trade with Cleveland, which is the team that we've talked about the most, I don't know that they would want a really raw player right now, because they're also in a position where I think they're going to be trying to compete even if they move Mitchell. So we'll see with it. But there's going to be a lot of intrigue on draft night, I think, in part because when you don't have a great draft, it tends to be about the veterans that get moved that night. And these draft picks are basically, a lot of them, going to be used to fill slots on rosters, not necessarily to be players to be built around. And so what affects it is the build-around players, or the close-to-build-around players, who are moved that night. So we'll see how it plays out again on draft night. My overall thought on this, and then we'll get into some I'm going to let Brady kind of tease some specific players that we're going to talk about here over the next 3 weeks. But my thought on it is this, okay? First thing, I do trust their scouting staff much more than I used to. They were not a team that drafted very well for a long time. They didn't value it. Pat didn't value it. There's a string of late first round picks. And again, a lot of them were late first round picks during Pat's tenure that were not good. I mean, Wayne Simeon turned into a preacher. Tim James went to Iraq. Charles Smith was the wrong Charles Smith. I don't even think anybody even remembers. If these were all first round picks, like these were all guys drafted in the 20s, this organization, if they've improved in any area, and we talk about developing young guys, that were kind of missed by other teams. If they've improved in any other significant area, it's drafting. They've gotten much, much better at it. And that's why the whole Precious Maxey thing, I'm like, okay, they missed on one, but like the rest of this has been really good. And those people are still in place. So I feel comfortable that they'll get a good player, and they'll get someone that fits them. But with that said, I would still be inclined to take best available here, because I think when you do the draft before free agency, you don't really know who's going to be there or not there. And I've always felt it's probably better to do free agency before the draft. But this is the way that, like the NFL does it. But this is the way that the NBA does it. So anyway, on the other side,
I just want to say the Heat's best player available is never like the actual best player available. That's what's funny about it.
Right.
Like it's, we have these conversations every year of, okay, this is the guy that's on the board. Oh, they're going to take him because he's the best player available.
Well, it was Whitmore last year, right? I mean, it was Whitmore, yeah. According to most people's opinions. I was like Sekou during the Hero year, right? Like, this is right. I mean, but see, that is the thing. Like, the less that Heat fans like the pick, the better the pick turns out to be. Typically, Bam was not a popular choice on that night at all. You had Hassan already, and Bam was considered to be very limited in a lot of different ways. I mean, Pat compared him to a young Dwight Howard. Young Sean Kemp. He looked like Dwight Howard, but he compared him to a young Sean Kemp, and everybody's like, okay, that's an interesting comp. But others were comparing him to Clint Capella and Miles Plumlee and those kind of players, and obviously Bam has way exceeded those kind of players. And Tyler, look, whatever people think of Tyler and where the situation is now, like, people didn't think he was an NBA player when he was drafted, or at least Heat fans didn't. Okay, there was a lot of people did not like that pick, and he's been a top 6-7 guy in that draft. Okay, so I mean, they did well with that one. And even Hawkes, there was not universal celebration of Hawkes until he said that Jimmy Butler was his favorite player. Then all of a sudden it was okay, but it wasn't based on his skill set necessarily. There were very few people I saw in the space who followed the draft from a Heat fan perspective were like, okay, that's the guy. Everybody wanted Whitmore. So now Whitmore may turn out to be a better player. I don't know. He came on in the second half of last season, but certainly Hawkes had the bigger impact in his first year. All right, we will get to our sponsors here, and then we're going to get to some, just tease you guys on some of the players we could be looking at. I want to mention Better Edge. They got a contest on there right now, finals contest. And this is the biggest giveaway we've done on Better Edge, $100 in free money. $100 if you win this contest, and you can use it any way you want. Better Edge, of course, is a social betting marketplace. You can find the line that you want. You can bet the Stanley Cup Finals between the Oilers and the Panthers if you want. They've got no VIG there, which is basically just means you're not giving away money to the house, which is great. And it's, like I said, you can find the line you want, and you can do the contest. Sign up for Better Edge. The contest is pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Usually I have the Discord pin there. I've got this pin there until the finals start. So check it out. Check out the Five Reasons Sports Twitter page, and then just sign up. All you got to do is give your phone number. Also, Prize Picks, legal in the state of Florida now. Again, use the code 5, F-I-V-E. We'll be doing NBA Finals shows every single day of the NBA Finals. We're also going to do Stanley Cup Finals shows. So check it out, prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Play their new game in the state of Florida. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weight and handle. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
All right, Brady, just give us a cliff notes, okay? We don't want to deep dive on these guys, although you did this on Twitter, which is great. People should check that out. And again, we'll do more on Discord as well. Give me a couple of players that you're looking at here.
Yeah, so the reason when we were talking through this stuff, like I'm imagining players, so we're kind of comparing the two. Like, so when you talk about high floor, like there's a guy like Devin Carter, who is kind of like the strong guard that a lot of people don't want the guard, but there is a connection there. There was somebody today I know that said that there's like kind of a promise in the lottery somewhere, and obviously Miami's right outside the lottery, so I don't know how that'll play out. But I think that's kind of the idea of somebody that could play immediately, that could be high impact, that could defend, that could just get minutes rather quickly. Guys like then on the opposite side of the spectrum, I think there's a guy like Tyler Smith. That's kind of the guy that I kind of keep coming back to in terms of like when I was talking about high upside and the guy that could just be different, that's unique, just as we talked about with Jaime and Jovic and different guys being unique. He's unique. Like he's a guy that can run the floor. He's a guy like a 6'11 guy that can shoot. He could play above the rim. He's a really, you know, strong lob threat. And he's just something they don't have. They don't have that elite athleticism in general. So I just think those are the type of guys. And then there's Tristan Da Silva, I think is interesting. Just like a really good shooter. As Alex was talking about, you don't know what's going to play out with the rotation. So I think Tristan Da Silva is just kind of a good option to just be solid and just be able to shoot and play. You can never have enough shooting, and he can play off closeouts. And then there's the big men. There's the guys that like Khalil Ware. I know a lot of people like him that have been talking about the Heat just because of the positional need, just about the fact that it seems like he does have the athleticism to be a pretty good backup big and kind of slide in there. And look, even if the guy they pick, let's just say the backup big they get is a project, I think you do need a big man in the system somewhere. Like no matter if it's the first pick, the second round pick, undrafted, like you need to start funneling at least some talent in the front court to make them compete. Cause right now I'm looking around and it's like, you just can't keep going into next season, like with Kevin Love just being the guy that's battling in training camp. Like you got to have somebody fighting for their position. And so I think that'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But those are a couple of guys. And that's why I think it's like, there's a lot of guys that can fill multiple positions, but there's also guys with different, you know, trajectories in terms of next season.
Alex, I'll let you close on this. My only thought about the big, and we just did a whole playback about how they need to get bigger overall, not just in the front court, but across the lineup, across the rotation, the roster. But my only thing is this, that my concern is if you draft a big, it takes bigs longer to develop typically. Okay. Bigs and point guards. Wings play faster usually. If you draft a big who needs a little time and he doesn't play very much, right, in a Jimmy Butler build year, aren't we going to hear the fans complaining, like, why didn't you get somebody to help now? That would be my only reservation on it.
I completely get that, and I could just totally see, because I completely understand, like, everybody wanting size, but and people, like, pointing out, you know, their favorites. And I haven't gotten into everybody yet, but, like, for example, like, Khalil Ware, who's very athletic. You know, Brady mentioned Tyler Smith, another guy who's very athletic. I'm not, you know, pointing out anybody specifically, but I'm just imagining a scenario where, like, one of these guys get drafted. Like, somebody mentioned Misi. You know, there's Filipowski from Duke. There's Daron Holmes from Dayton. Like, there's some guys in that range when you look at the mock drafts that I feel like Heat fans can sell themselves on. And I'm not talking about any specific one here, but I could totally imagine a scenario where it's like, you know, Spo is not 100% sure that whoever, you know, whatever big they draft is like not ready. And it's a little bit frustrating for people because, and for me too, because I think the regular season is a great time, you know, to get your young guys reps. And they've done it in the past. They did it this year with Jovic, like we all asked for. You know, they gave the guy a chance once they felt he was ready. And I think that's the key. And if like one of these guys, like you're saying, is not deemed to be ready, I could totally see fans frustrated that either he's not playing or he's only playing as like a backup five and not playing next to Bam. I could 100% see that scenario because a lot of these guys, like the bigs that are in that range, I feel like can make an open three. But are they shooters? Are they guys who are who is Spo is okay putting next to Bam, and, you know, most of their shots are going to be from three. I don't know. And I think that's the key. It's like you got to be able to play with Bam on both ends of the floor. And I feel like, you know, some people may be getting ahead of themselves and thinking that they're going to draft somebody who can play next to Bam right away. They've already done it with Jovic, so that's great. But it's like, do you want to spend the 15th pick on a backup five? I'm not against it at all. I'm really not. Like, I'm open to that. But that's just kind of what I'm thinking about. And I liked a lot of the names that Brady threw out there. Like, the ones that have stood out to me the most are Tristan Da Silva with 6'8", 6'9", with a decent wingspan. You know, is kind of seems like a two-way player and can really shoot the ball, can make plays. And he's 23 years old, by the way. So he does fit that, you know, along with Devin Carter. Like, those are the two guys who fit the mold of kind of skill sets you've been yearning for and who can play right away, even though Devin Carter is a guard. He, you know, Anthony Carter's son, but he is a bulldog point guard who it seems like the shooting has been a question, but he can really shoot from deep too. So it's one of those where it's not like he's a non-shooter like a Collier, Isaiah Collier. And so I could totally see the Heat going for one of those type of guys. And if I had to bet, I would bet more on that type of scenario than them going for a big who they deem to be a project.
All right, well, we'll get more into it as the draft approaches. We're also going to do some draft recap episodes. We'll take a look at certain drafts, who they could have drafted, why they drafted the player they did, and how it worked out. So more of those as we go forward. Also, Wednesday, I haven't decided if we're going to do this on Playback or YouTube, but we are going to interact with the Orlando Magic, New Orlando Magic podcast that's part of the network called Magic Mania. And so we're going to be with that group on Wednesday night. We may originate that on Playback. I kind of decided that today. So make sure you go to playback.tv/5RSN and download that app for free. Have a good one, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.